you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jesus could not even conceive of the idea that you could ask God for something and wouldn't get it. Didn't enter his mind. He never had a doubt that whenever you seek, you're going to find. Never entered into his thought that you would ever knock and it wouldn't be open. He just couldn't conceive such a thing. And then he goes on to explain a little more in detail. He said, or what man is there among you whom if his son ask for bread, will he give him a stone? You see, in Bible times, we're not talking about rainbow or sunbeam. They're little loaves of bread, like hard rolls. They look like stones. So he said, would he give him a stone? He asked for bread. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, or your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Everybody say that with me. How much more? Amen. I'm telling you, God is not stingy. God is not penurious. God is wealthy. God is generous. God is prodigal. God is abundant. God is lavish. We have this recurring phrase throughout the Bible, much more. And how much more? Hallelujah. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The very first miracle that Jesus did tells us of superabundance. I don't think those people needed 125, 150 gallons of wine. But that's how much he made. There were 6 water pots, and he said, you fill every one of them up to the brim. No skipping here. Amen. And he turned that into wine. Now the reason, I think 2 reasons he did that. Number one, wine in Scripture is a symbol of joy. And he wanted us to know that in him there is no lack of joy. There is no shortness of his supply of joy. Amen. The Bible said, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. You know what? God wants his people to be joyful. God likes it when we're joyful. Amen. And we ought to be, hallelujah. We ought to be the smilingest people in the whole wide world. Amen. Somebody said smile. It makes people wonder what you've been up to. Amen. And so that's a good thing. Put a smile on your face. Amen. And when people see that, then you can tell them, well, I just can't help it. Hallelujah. I got something down on the inside of me. It's called the joy of the Lord, and it's my strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he did that so that he would let us know about the joy. And the second reason is he wanted us to know that God never supplies just enough. Amen. Our God is a God of superabundance. Amen. I think I read somewhere it said, but my God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that you're able to ask or think. Our God doesn't deal in just barely getting by. That's why I think when we serve the Lord, we ought to do it with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our strength, because that's how he deals with us. God doesn't deal with us in halfway measures, but He deals with us in abundance. Amen. The Bible talks about more and much more and how much more. Amen. He's into more here tonight, not just a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. And so He tells us to ask. Even the Bible said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. And James also said, or because you ask for the wrong motive. You know, I heard about a guy one time that fasted 40 days and prayed that God would smite his enemy. That was a wasted fast. God wanted to save the man, not destroy him. That's shared in the Scripture, isn't it? For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So don't pray for God to kill somebody. He won't do it. Don't pray for God to destroy somebody. He won't do it. But if you'll pray for God to save somebody, He wants to do that. So you got to pray according to the will of God. Amen. If you'll pray according to His will, you will receive. Because it's what He wants to do. Hallelujah. Or, He said, sometimes we pray that we might consume it on our own lust. Amen. I don't really think God cares what kind of car you drive too much. I know people say, God gave me this Cadillac. Well, maybe He did. Maybe He didn't. If you've got to work two jobs and miss church to pay for it, God didn't give it to you. Well, where'd that come from? Huh? If it's hindering your spirituality, God didn't give it to you. Amen. Boy, look at this. Look at this wonderful. God gave me a Rolls Royce. Amen. But I don't really care what kind of car you drive. Whatever you drive is fine with me. As long as you can pay for it and still support the kingdom of God. Amen. That's all that matters. Amen. And I hope God does give everybody that wants one. Amen. I'd like to see people blessed. When I see people get blessed, I get blessed. Amen. I like that. I appreciate it. Amen. Because my turn's coming. Matter of fact, it's already here. You're looking at one of the most blessed people you've ever seen. Amen. I'm not a wealthy man, but I'm a blessed man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I praise God for every blessing. He said, ask. And according to the will of God, you're going to receive. Amen. He said, seek. And you're going to find it. Amen. For everyone that seeketh, findeth. Amen. But you got to seek the right thing. Amen. If you're seeking God, you're going to find God. If you're seeking God's will, you're going to find God's will. Amen. Amen. He said, knock, and it shall be opened. Amen. He's going to open it up. Amen. Now, the tense of these words is continual. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Don't stop. Be consistent. Be persistent. Just keep on. Amen. Hallelujah. I think Jesus had a sense of humor. I've never seen anybody sour that kids like. Children don't like an old sour puss, an old grump. And yet children flocked to Him because He had a kindness and He had a sweetness and he had a sense of humor. I wish we had more of that in Scripture, but we don't. Probably because some people take too much advantage of it like me. But God had a sense of humor. I like the story that He told about the little old lady and the gruff old judge. The old judge was harsh and hard. The Bible said he didn't respect man or God. He didn't respect nobody. And there was a little old lady in town, and her boy had a problem. And she kept going to that judge saying, avenge me of mine enemy. And he would not for a while. For a while. Amen. But that little old lady got on like a dog with a bone. And I mean, she hung on. She didn't give up. The Bible said his eyes got black. That means he couldn't sleep. He had big old bags under his eyes because he couldn't sleep anymore, because she was keeping him awake. All he could hear was that little Lord, avenge me of mine enemy. Avenge me of mine enemy. Until finally, he didn't respect God or man, but he wanted to sleep. So he said to that woman, all right, all right, all right. And he passed the judgment that she wanted. Amen. And he gave us that example that's how we ought to pray. He said, you just keep right on praying. Amen. Hadn't got it? Keep praying. Amen. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Amen. And so he teaches us that persistence because he said, if you know how to give good gifts, and you know why we give gifts to our kids? More than anything, because of what makes us feel. You know, there's a great reward to watch a child open a gift and watch their face light up. And it's exciting, isn't it? And I used to couldn't wait for Christmas because of what I thought I might get. And now then, I don't really need anything. So I look forward to it to watch and see what others get. And I enjoy watching other people be blessed. It's exciting to do that. Anybody understand what I'm saying here? And he said, if you get a charge out of watching your kid get something that they wanted, he said, how much more do you think your heavenly Father gets a charge out of giving you something good? God likes to give you good things. You don't have to twist his arm, plead with him, and beg him. Amen. That's not what prayer is. Overcoming God's reluctance. That's not what prayer is. He wants to do it. He likes to do it. Amen. It's his pleasure to do it. Go with me to the book of Luke now, to the 12th chapter. And the scripture said, he said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, or don't worry about what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Amen. Did you know there's more to life than eating and wearing clothes? There's more to it than that. Now you're looking at somebody that enjoys it. I just admit it, I do. I like to eat. I love good food, and it loves me. Some of you eat and it don't stay with you very long. Shame on you. Amen. Some of us in life, it stays with us. Amen. I think I've still got the first calorie I ever ate. I don't know why that is. Amen. But it just likes me. Amen. But he said, but there's more to it than that. It's more than food. It's more than clothes that you wear. He said, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouses nor barn, but God feedeth them. Amen. And here it is again. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Amen. You know what? There's the little birds out there that nobody will ever hear their song but God. Nobody will ever, it'll never fall on a human ear. But the Bible says when one falls dead, he takes note of it. And every last one of them, he feeds them. He makes sure that they have something to eat. And if he'll do that for birds that sing a short song and fly just a little ways and live a little while, he said, how much more are you greater to God? You who were made in his image, you who call him Father, he said, how much more are you to him than a bird? Amen. I'm not saying God doesn't love birds, but he loves you a whole lot more. Amen. If he'll take care of them, he said, I am going to take care of you. If he'll clothe a flower with all of its beauty, that's going to live just a very short while, and then it's going to pass on, and it's going to become dust again and dirt of the field. He said, if he'll do that for just a little flower, how much more is he going to take care of you? and make sure that you have what you need. Amen. God is going to take care of all of our needs. Amen. And then let me take your attention a little bit further down in the scripture here. Verse number 29, chapter 12, verse 29. He said, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." So what he's saying is, you don't worry about those things. God's going to take care of it. Now, could I just say this right here? God usually takes care of that by giving you a job. Lest anybody think it's just going to fall out of heaven, it probably won't. It's probably going to come to you in the form in North America in a paycheck. And then it's going to be up to you to administrate that paycheck correctly. Amen. And don't buy lottery tickets with it, but buy food with it. Amen, right? And if you'll do that, you'll have plenty to eat. And if you need some shoes, buy some shoes. And if you need clothes, buy clothes. Amen. And you buy what you need, you see. But he takes care of your needs. Now, I know God can supply people's needs in a lot of different ways. Amen. But most of the time, if all you do is stay home and pray and never go out and get a job, you may be the first person that died praying. Amen. Because he'll tell you how he's going to do it, but then you've got to get up and go do it. Amen. God expects us to do something in the conjunction, and then he can supply our needs in various ways. But he said, don't let that be the end of your seeking. God knows you need that, but don't let that occupy too much of your time. And this is, I know we've spoken of this a good bit, but I think it's good to remind us that some people never have enough. Doesn't matter how much they have, it's not enough, because that's all they seek after. Amen. If I've got one house, I need another house. And if I get two houses, then I need another house somewhere else. And if I get one car, I need another car. And if I get another car, then I need one that's nicer than those two. They never, ever get enough. He said that's what the Gentiles seek. And that's the world we live in, just more and more and more. Let me ask you, how many meals can you eat at a time? Just one. How many beds can you sleep in at one time? Well, I guess you can wear more than one set of clothes, but it looks kind of funny and gets really uncomfortable. I heard about that guy that bought a suit that had two pairs of pants with it, you know, in case he ruined one, they gave him two pairs. He said, but if it gets any hotter, I'm going to take one pair off. So he just assumed that because there were two, you wore them. Amen. But that's not what it's all about. It's not about just seeking more stuff. He said that's what the Gentiles do. And it is. That's what's going on in the world today. Amen. But listen to what he says next here. This is so vital and so important. He said, verse number 31, he said, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God." He said, another place he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. If you'll just put it first and seek it first, you'll not only have the stuff you need, but you'll have the kingdom of God. Because he said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He wants to. What is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Who doesn't want to be right here tonight? Who doesn't want to have peace here tonight? Who doesn't want to have joy here tonight? It is the Father's good pleasure to give you that. That means that He gets pleasure out of giving it to you. He wants to give it to you. Hallelujah. Now you read that verse that said when one sinner comes to repentance, there is joy in the presence of the angels. Do you know who dwells in the presence of the angels? Amen. I think the angels get excited, but I think that verse is not just talking about the angels. It's talking about the one that is in the presence of the angels. And He's the one that gets more excited than anybody else. I know as a father that when my daughter was filled with the Holy Ghost, I got excited. When I baptized her in the name of the Lord, I got excited. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, when I see spiritual fruit and see my daughter rejoicing, serving God as a father, I get excited. That's my greatest joy. She's accomplished a lot in her life. But the thing I'm more proud of than anything else is not college degrees, although those are wonderful accomplishments. But my greatest joy is that she's serving the Lord tonight. Amen. With all of her heart and loves God first. Amen. That's what all fathers rejoice in. And He said, your father's no different. It makes him more excited for you to get the kingdom than it does anything else. Amen. Yeah, he likes to give you stuff. He likes for you to have a nice car. He likes for you to have a place to live that's nice. He likes for you to have nice things. And he enjoys giving that to you. But he's most excited to give you peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's what makes him excited more than anything else. Amen. And he delights in giving those things to us. It's not something that we have to beg and plead for, but God desires for us to have all of these good things. Amen. In the book of Romans, the scripture said, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, for God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One time I heard a statement from a man. He's a rich man in the world and in the entertainment field, and he made the statement. He said, I never asked Jesus to die for me. And he's right, but he did it anyway. He did it anyway in the hope that he would accept the gift of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't ask me either, and I didn't ask him, but I'm so glad he did. And I'm not going to spit in his face and turn my back on him. Amen. Praise God. He said, verse 9, much more then, and being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Much more. Amen. It was wonderful. But he justified us. Amen. He came down and he made it all right. You know, when you do wrong, don't you wish there was somebody that could make it right? Have you ever really messed up? I mean, bad. It felt so bad. When I wish I could make this right. That's what justification is, when God makes it right. You can't make it. But God makes it right for you. Amen. You have so trampled His grace and His mercy beneath your feet, you can't make it right. You have done so much disgrace and abuse to the grace of God, you could never make it right. But God makes it right for you. You know why? Because He wants to. Not because you can buy it, you can force it, you can do it. God does it because He wants to. Amen. Or if we then being enemies were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall live by His life. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what, my greatest joy is my salvation. Had a lot of honors in life and good things in life, but my greatest joy is still my salvation. The thing I marvel at every day is that I'm saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can't get over it. Somebody asked one of the great scholars, they said, what's the deepest theological thing that you can think of? He, without missing a beat, he said, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. He didn't even miss a beat. He said the greatest thing and the deepest of all theology is that Jesus loves me. Amen. And it is. It's something that you, when you get a hold of it and understand it, you'll never get over it. You'll spend your lifetime in marvel and you'll never get over the wonder that Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Romans 5 and 17, he said, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Just because Adam sinned, every human being has had to pay for that sin. That one sin so scarred us and marked us that we ourselves, every person, becomes a servant. I've said it before, I'll say it again to you tonight. You don't even have to teach children how to lie. You don't have to teach children how to steal. You don't have to teach children to be selfish and mean. You don't have to teach children to be violent. You have to teach them the opposite. You have to teach them to be nice. You have to teach them to be kind. You have to teach them to share. You have to teach them to tell the truth. Isn't that right? Because just because Adam sinned, that got in me and that got in you, and it affects every one of us. And not a one of us is able to get over it on our own. The older you get, the worse you get. That's right. You don't grow out of it. It's a foolish idea that people are getting better all the time. Don't think so. Amen. The humanists would have you believe that we're just, as people, we're just getting better every day. No, we're not. We're still rotten to the core. Amen. The less morality that we're taught and the less correction we receive, the more selfish and violent we become. That's right. Amen. That's not about right. That is right. Prisons are more full today than they've ever been in history. There's more people, there's more crime. We're not getting better, folks. You don't get better on your own. Amen. You've got to reach out to somebody that's higher than you. Somebody that's better than you. Every man can be his own God, but no man can be his own Savior. You can worship yourself, but you cannot save yourself. You have to be saved from the outside, and only Jesus can do that. Amen. For when we were enemies, he said, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, that's how God views righteousness. That's how God sees grace. That's how God sees His own righteousness. The fact that one man could come and shed His blood and sacrifice His life, and God would take that one sacrifice as righteous enough and good enough that based on that one man's sacrifice, He could forgive the sins of billions. That the righteousness of that one man is greater than the sin of the whole world. Praise God. That's the power of righteousness. That's the power of God's grace. Amen. I'm just telling you today, sin came by one and salvation came by one, Jesus Christ. Righteousness came by one, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that any of us folks are going to make it in this world. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, he said, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh." That's Old Testamentism. You remember the very first sin that man committed required a sacrifice. When Adam sinned, God himself sacrificed one of his beautiful creatures, stripped the skin off of its body, its blood stained soil, its eyes lost their life in their life. I must have wondered often how Adam and Eve must have felt when they were witnesses to death for the very first time. Then he took that skin, that warm skin, and placed it around their shoulders and made cloaks for them. And something died that they might live. Something gave its life in their stead. And that was a pattern. They continued that. Their children continued that. If you read the story of Abel and Cain and how they brought sacrifices. Abel brought the sacrifice that pleased God. It was a blood sacrifice. And so on through history, that Abraham was a builder of altars. Everywhere he went, he made sacrifices. Noah, when he stepped out of the ark, he offered a sacrifice. And on through history, and the time when Moses came and the law was given and the ceremonial law was passed, and they literally killed millions, if not billions, of creatures through history. For 4,000 years of time, they offered sacrifices. Every morning and every evening, and there was a temple sacrifice. And there were other individual sacrifices all through the day. And the Sabbath, there were sacrifices. And the Day of Atonement, there were sacrifices. And if you had stacked those, they would become literal mountains of carcasses. And if you could coagulate the blood, it would literally make rivers. None of that was enough. None of that was enough. Amen. But he said, if just the blood of an animal could just purge or roll your sins ahead just for one more year, he said, how much more? I love that. How much more, get this, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. Now I'm telling you, God loved those creatures because the Bible said they were made for his pleasure. And God loved all the creatures that died. Amen. But in the fullness of time, God, the eternal Spirit, put on himself a robe of flesh that we call Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And he came and he walked here on this earth and was tempted in all points like as we are, until the day came that he said, this is the time. And for this cause am I come into the world. And he allowed sinners to take him and mock him and beat him and put stripes upon his back and pluck his beard and pull the hair from his head and slap him and beat him and mock him and laugh at him and put a fake robe upon his shoulders and march him up a hill called Calvary and drive nails in his hands and through his feet and suspend him between heaven and earth. And he, as the hot sun began to heat, and he cried out, I thirst. And they lifted up vinegar on a sponge to his parched lips, and still mocking and gambling even for his seamless robe. Amen. And they took a spear and pierced his side. All the things they did to God when he was manifest in the flesh. And he said, if the blood of an animal could affect sin, he said, how much more the blood of Christ? As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us it literally takes away sin. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. But now we have remission of sins. The word remission means removal. You know, in Bible times, they wrote with ink that had no acid. And they wrote on parchments, not on paper. And if a person made a mistake, he had a blotter. And he could take that blotter and he could blot it out, and he could literally remove the mistake from the page, and it no longer existed. No one would ever see it again because he could blot it out. That's why David said, blot out mine transgressions. And I'm telling you today, with the blood of Jesus Christ, God can still blot out sins. Hallelujah. Amen. He can literally remove them from his record and from his memory. And he does. And he does. Hallelujah. Amen. When you're buried in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, he removes them. The Bible said, as far as the east is from the west, amen, you'll never see them again. He blots them out. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How much more the blood of Christ? Aren't you glad tonight that he's done more for us than any other generation of people that have ever lived on the face of the earth? There's never been a people as blessed as this people that's sitting here with us in this sanctuary tonight. In closing, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11 said, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? God didn't create hell for humanity. The Bible said God made hell for the devil and his angels. God did not create man for destruction. He created man for fellowship. But because of sin, people will inherit hell that was not created. I've heard people make a statement, I don't believe God will ever send anybody to hell. He doesn't have to. If that's the road you're on, that's just where you go. It's just a destination that a person chooses by the way they live their life. I said, it's just a destination. That's what you choose. And you stay on that road, that's where it's headed. Turn out of this parking lot. If you go to the right, you're going to Corsicana. You stay on it. You go left, you get on 31, you're going to go to Tyler. Amen. But you're going to have a rough ride if you try to go to Corsicana. You turn left. It's going to be about 25,000 plus miles through a couple oceans. It's going to be a rough ride. Amen. But you see, it's the road you're on. But if God sees hell, and he does, God sees destruction, the Bible said, how much more the hearts of the children of men. God looks at hearts today and he wants people to change. I said it before, I say it again. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. He stated that. You don't even have to pray if it's God's will to save somebody. He's already said he was. Amen. Let's stand together. It's his word.